Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of John. From chapter 12, we read verses 1 through 8. In the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1532. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. John 12. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. There they made Jesus a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with Jesus. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of Jesus' disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray Jesus, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the money box, and Judas used it to take what was put in. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Something happens between 5th and 6th grade. We like to think that it's the other kids that change, but we change too. Colin Ryan told this story at a live moth storytelling event. He said, "When I was in 5th grade, you could have told me, 'Colin, it's not cool to wear the same pair of pants every day of school.' I was comfortable. You could have told me, 'Colin, it's not cool to do the Macarena for the entire duration of Guns N' Roses' November Rain.' I would have danced on. You could have told me, 'Colin, it's not cool to be an active member of your local church's clown troupe.' I would have laughed. Then I went to 6th grade, middle school. Suddenly, it was clear. There were only two options. I could somehow be cool or somehow be invisible. On that first day, I was doing pretty well at being invisible until 3rd period. When a teacher asked us to fill out a questionnaire with those get-to-know-you questions, assuming she would be reading them privately, I felt safe to share as a sweatpant-wearing, macarena-dancing, Christian clown, little snowflake that I was. The teacher collected the sheets, she shuffled them, and redistributed them. We went one by one, we'd read the teacher's name, and then our favorite answers. My sheet ended up in the hands of a kid who was one of the coolest and meanest. His favorite answers of mine were the three worst to be read out loud. 'What's your favorite movie?' The other kids wrote things like 'Scream' and 'Universal Soldier.' I'm thinking, 'We're 11 years old. How are you watching these R-rated movies?' He read my answer, 'Beauty and the Beast.' I still maintain that that's a better movie, but I couldn't make that argument that day amid all the laughter." Colin continues, "While my cheeks were burning, he read the next question. 'Where would you like to travel?' The others said things like Australia, Japan. I wrote, 'Wherever a book takes me.' The laughter kind of had an explosive quality to it. The kids were high-fiving one another. The final was, 'What do you like to do on weekends?' The others wrote, 'Hang out with friends and go to the mall.' I wrote, 'Perform with clowns for Christ.' Those who weren't laughing were staring in disgust. I felt about an inch tall. I fixated on my Trapper Keeper binder, trying to figure out how to disappear. Then something amazing happened. A voice from the back of the room said, 'Guys, cut it out.' And the room went silent. The voice belonged to Michelle. Michelle was popular and cool. Michelle Seaver had sway. The room was quiet. But Michelle wasn't done. She turned to the teacher and said, 'Why are you letting this happen? What is the point if we're just going to make fun of each other?'" Colin Ryan, a 36-year-old comedic financial speaker from Burlington, Vermont, concludes, "I don't remember the teacher or the kids, but I remember Michelle Seaver and her name. I remember how it felt when she spoke up for me, because she showed me that there are really three options. You can be cool, and you might be remembered for a little while. You can be invisible, and you won't be remembered at all. But if you stand up for someone when they need you the most, you will be remembered for the rest of their life. Jesus stood up for Mary. He said, "Let her alone." Jesus was in Bethany, a small village about 6 miles outside of Jerusalem. It was the home of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. At a supper for Jesus and his disciples, Brother Lazarus ate with Jesus, Sister Martha served, and Sister Mary anointed Jesus. Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard. She anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Spikenard, or nard, was a favorite perfume in ancient times. It came from an herb plant. It had spike-like roots and a spiny stem, and it grew high in the Himalayan mountains in India. The Greeks and the Romans loved it so much that they paid to have it brought from long distances. The oil was perhaps Mary's most costly gift, and she made it even more extravagant when she loosed her hair and wiped the feet of Jesus, the feet which had walked long, dusty roads. What irked Judas so much? Was it the adoration for Jesus on Mary's face? Or was he simply a greedy thief? Judas, Jesus' disciple, who would betray him, said, "Why was this oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" 300 denarii, that's about a year's income for the average person. It could feed or clothe or house many. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial." Had Mary listened and believed when others hadn't, Jesus is going to die and be raised from the dead. This wasn't the first time that Jesus defended Mary. In Luke 10:38-42, we read of another family meal with Jesus. Martha welcomed Jesus into her home. Her sister Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving and approached Jesus. She said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken from her." Jesus defended Lazarus against death. Lazarus became ill, and Jesus delayed. Jesus arrived, and he was greeted with, "Lord, if you had been here, our brother wouldn't have died." Jesus proclaimed, "I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Do you believe this?" Jesus raised Lazarus from a four-day death. It wasn't only this family that Jesus stood up for when they most needed it. In Mark 10:46 and Luke 18:35, we read of Bartimaeus, who was a blind man who sat by the side of the road begging. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was on the road, he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many warned Bartimaeus, "Be quiet." But he called out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying, "Be of good cheer. Rise, he's calling you." Jesus restored his sight. Jesus had sway. People changed their hearts. In the 8th chapter of John, scribes and Pharisees cast a woman before Jesus. They accused she was caught in the very act of adultery. "Moses in the law commanded us that she should be stoned. What do you say?" Jesus stooped and he wrote on the ground as though he did not hear. They insisted, "What do you say?" Jesus raised himself up and said, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." Jesus stooped and he wrote again on the ground. Those who heard, convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. Jesus was left alone with a woman standing. Jesus stood up and seeing no one, said, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." If we pause in prayer, we might be wise in our responses. In Matthew 19 and Luke 18, babies and children were being brought to Jesus for him to lay his hands on them and to pray over them. But the disciples saw it and they tried to send the adults away who were bringing them. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. If we turn the children away, how will we know the kingdom?" In Luke 19, Zacharias, a tax collector, he might have been a little like our sweatpants-wearing Macarena-dancing clown as he hoisted himself up in the sycamore tree to see Jesus. At that point, he didn't care what others thought. Jesus said, "Come on down, Zacchaeus, for I'm going to your house today." And Zacchaeus received Jesus joyfully, and he had a change of heart. He gave goods to the poor and restored money that he had taken falsely. Religious leaders had a difficult time with Jesus because he ate and drank with sinners. He defended and befriended them, saying, "I came for them." He came for all of us. We might say, "Oh, that Jesus would stand up for me." Jesus does. In Romans 8:33-34, we read, "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Christ, who died and is also risen, is at the right hand of God, the Father, making intercession for us." In 1 John 2:1-2, we read, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the atonement for our sins, and not for ours, but for the whole world." Beloved, Jesus stood up for us when we needed it the most by dying for our sins. He continues to stand up for us by defending and interceding and praying for us, especially when we draw near to him. We do not trouble Jesus when we go to him. Jesus claims us as his own, brothers and sisters. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you for dying for our sins and defending me. Help me to go out and to sin no more. In your name, amen.